And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And as you build your financial freedom, you're going to grow your cash flow, you're going to grow your wealth, you're going to work on your personal financial statement, your balance sheet, your profit and loss statement, and you're going to work on your financials. We're going to talk today about the importance of keeping your financials up to date. And to lead into that, I want to tell you how I made about a $200,000 mistake. Yeah, sounds bad, right? Oh, did you invest in the wrong apartments? No, nothing like that. But I did find a pretty big mistake in those financials. So I want to tell you about that and kind of help make sure you understand that it's important to stay on top of those. But before we get to that, if you are new to the program, I want to thank you for joining today. I thank you for tuning in. And I want you to understand that the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, this program is dedicated to helping you become a successful real estate investor. And at Lifestyles Unlimited, we invest in single family houses, rental properties, and apartments, multifamily. Those are the two asset classes that we focus on. And again, today I'm going to talk to you about financials, but I and my fellow hosts of the show, Al Gordon and Mike Harrison, every week we hit a broad array of topics. We may talk to you, for example, about how to find a good rental house to invest in, or you know, you've found that house. We may talk to you about operations broadly, or we may dial it in onto some particular piece, like how to go through marketing and leasing a house. That's a very popular conversation I've found over the years, how to get that thing rented. We'll talk about renovations. What's hot? What kind of big ticket items do you need to think about, and so on? We'll talk about refinancing. We'll talk about selling. Basically, the whole gamut. We'll get into apartments, and sometimes we might just get into the mindset to help you overcome your fears. It's very important. You may not become a real estate investor until you overcome those fears. And of course, that's just us here at the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. As well, be sure to catch Del Walmsley on his program, the Del Walmsley Radio Show. He's the guy that founded Lifestyles Unlimited over 30 years ago. And Lifestyles, so you understand, is dedicated to providing education and mentoring in those two asset classes that I talked about, houses and apartments. We're over 50,000 members strong, and the organization has helped thousands achieve their financial freedom. And I can tell you more are on the way. I got a question recently, in fact, from a new member. Congrats to taking action and getting started. I'm hoping to work that question in today for you. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. You can catch the shows, the podcasts archived there from the past. And you'll find a button there that says free workshop. Be sure to register for that because you can do this online. It's free. It's about an hour and a half. And learn more about what we do as an organization. That's your homework. I want you to do that. But no matter what topic we're talking about, if you ever come away with questions, you can send those over. I do answer those personally. Send those to askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc. We're here to help you, and I'd love to hear from you. So, made a mistake. $200,000 mistake. Sounds bad, right? Well, as part of my process, I've been a single-family rental owner for over 11 years now, and I like to go in every year, and this feeds into my personal financial statement we just mentioned, into the balance sheet, and I like to reevaluate each and every one of those houses that I own, because we know we make money five different ways on our houses, and an appreciation is one of those, right? We have cash flow. It must cash flow. We buy right, we buy distressed assets, we have equity capture at the beginning, we create a big equity buffer that way. But over the years, we do see appreciation and we do see equity build up as our residents pay down the mortgage. That's four ways. The fifth, of course, is significant tax advantages that play throughout the hold period as well as when we dispose of those assets, potentially depending on how you dispose of those, sell those. But thinking about appreciation, I like to reevaluate those each and every house every year, typically about the middle of the year. That's just simply when I started. and that's usually the trigger to do this thing. And that's where I uncovered a $200,000 mistake. Somehow, sitting down with my wife, well, we're going through the portfolio, talking about, hey, what do we want to sell? What do we want to do coming up for the year? Kind of setting goals, you know, thinking about those already. And I noticed that five of my houses, I didn't update those. I missed them. Last time I had done that evaluation was middle of 2021. Well, years ticked by, 2022, and another year's ticked by and some change, 2023. So I sat down and said, whoa, I got to figure out what's going on here. And got out there, did my comparative market analysis, run my comps, sold comps on each and every one of those properties. And lo and behold, I'd missed quite a bit of appreciation. Yeah, to the tune of $200K across those five properties. So what? That's a positive. As far as $200,000 mistakes go, that's a pretty benign thing. In fact, it was I was happy to see the jump in our balance sheet as a result of that reevaluation. I'll tell you that the bulk of the appreciation on those occurred in that first year between 2021 and 2022. We did continue to see appreciation in the subsequent year, and we are still seeing it now, which is the good news. And I want to look at an article here with you somebody sent me that ties very well to this conversation today. And this was on bankrate.com. This came out, a week or two ago, early September. And the title is the housing market about to crash? And what the experts are saying. There are a few experts in here I do want to quote alongside Lifestyles Unlimited. And it's interesting because the thing I saw as I went through and reevaluated those properties is we're seeing it in the broader market. Prices are still going up. If you look at the Case-Shiller Home Price Index, prices have in fact increased in the last 5 months, each month in a row. Now, that Case-Shiller Index, I do want to give you a caveat. You do need to be careful when you read articles that are posting information on a national level. If you're watching the evening news, wherever you're getting your information, just be careful. Beware of national numbers because all real estate is local, and you really have to dial it down to your local city and maybe even your local submarket. And I saw that as I reevaluated five houses. Some of these were in Dallas County, some were in Tarrant County, and some were in Denton County. And I saw more movement in some submarkets than others. And all of that movement, fortunately for me, was in an upward trajectory. But be careful of those bigger picture numbers because they are not always representative of your market. That's the important. That's why we say on the show, you know, live where you want and invest where it makes sense. You may be in California where prices are seeing declines. Well, then don't invest there. Invest here in Texas where it makes sense. So prices are on the rise. That's Case-Shiller. I think interesting as well, Lawrence Yoon, who's the chief economist at the National Association of Realtors, his quote that they have here, the housing recession is essentially over. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize we were in a housing recession to begin with. We just didn't see that here. We just haven't seen that here in North Texas where I sit, I think in Houston or in San Antonio either, in some of the other markets outside of Texas where we invest, things are just going up. There continues to be, what's at play here? Home values are holding tight, holding steady, even though mortgage rates are going up. Normally that rate goes up, values go down. People have to discount their house to account for that higher holding cost that the buyer incurs. But the big problem that we're seeing now is that we're still below the necessary months of inventory to have a balanced market. In July, it was a 3.3-month supply of housing. This is nationally. Again, you've got to dial that down. And a healthy market is typically around 6 months. So we're still short inventory. We know why. Two reasons. Number one, builders cut back massively at the end of the last recession, back in the Great Recession of 08, 09. They just pulled back on their building. Getting permits is more expensive. Building a house is more expensive. Entry-level housing is really not there, affordable housing from that perspective. And those that are in houses now and locked in those low interest rates in the last few years, about 2020, 2021 perhaps, they're sitting on a rate that's 2.5%, maybe 3%, and they're looking at that 7%. In fact, it says right here, Bankrate conducted a national survey of the big lenders, and the average mortgage interest rate at the start of September was 7.42%. So a lot of people don't want to give up that low interest rate and trade up to that higher rate. So people are just staying put. home sales fell 2.2% from June of this year to July. So summer is typically the hottest selling season, and sales declined. Not because people are panicking about a recession, not because anything on that side of the economic equation, but rather because there's no inventory. People just aren't selling. And that's good news. If you hold assets right now, that's good news for you. So those assets that I looked at on my balance sheet, those five houses where I'd missed running my analysis the year prior, those are going up in value. They're going to keep going up in value until we start to see more inventory. So if you own assets, that's good for you. If you want to get into this business, if you're listening, you're one of those new listeners and thinking about becoming a rental property investor, well, you might be thinking, well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? The good news is we still find a lot of inventory. It just may not be on the MLS. It may be off market. We have avenues. We have a great realty team. In fact, I've gotten a lot of really good emails lately from the realty team just around Texas and out of the state. In fact, I got one recently in Houston. Here's one. It's $24,000 out of pocket. Buying a house for about $70,000. It's after repair value. You have to understand we're buying houses that need work. We're going to go in. We're going to do the work. It's going to be worth nearly $200,000. There's a really big spread there. That's why my out-of-pocket is $23,000, $24,000. And here's the good thing. That equity capture I mentioned, we're capturing almost $32,000 in equity through the process. That's additional equity on top of my cash that's sitting in that. I'm going to have $53,000, $54,000 in equity that I'm riding when I'm done with this process. And it cash flows. Every month, I'm getting about a 10% cash-on-cash return. That's just one house. Saw similar numbers recently in Knoxville, Tennessee. Seeing similar, even better numbers up in parts of Missouri. So our realty team's really helping deliver. And a lot of these are off market. Now, I'll tell you as well, I'm starting to see more and more stuff on the MLS, the actual active listings that our realtor is representing, starting to hit my inbox as well. So if you're in the market or you're thinking about getting into the market, the inventory can be found. And you want to get into that now, because we're only going to see a continued growth in those asset prices. Here's another interviewee, Skylar Olson, chief economist at Zillow, agrees about the supply and demand imbalance that we just talked about. And her latest forecast says that home prices will keep rising into 2024. So if you're sitting on those assets now, like I am, or you're acquiring new ones, as I intend to, or you're just getting started, get those onto your balance sheet so that in a year's time, when you do that reevaluation, you are pleasantly surprised. Whoa, look at that. My net worth just went up. Fill in the blank, $20, $50, $100, $200,000. Depends on your assets, depends on your portfolio, but the point is you really do need to get started now. So is there going to be a housing market crash? If you're waiting on the sidelines for that crash, if you think the Airbnb product out there is going to cause a supply glut, you got to stop waiting and you got to take action now. Again, I mentioned lifestylesunlimited.com. Go to that website, get registered for the free workshop so you can learn what we do and get involved and get started. We'll be right back.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
For 30 years, I've taken the smartest people I could find and then held them up as examples for you guys to learn from. We're all only as strong as our best people. But the best part about this is that these best people are willing to give back.
Ready to learn from the best? It starts with our free online workshop. Stop depending on your paycheck. Quit worrying about retirement. Register now at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions, you can email me. Send those to askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And I love your questions. I do answer those personally. In fact, to tie this to our prior segment, our conversation around the fact that, yes, we are finding off-market inventory. We are finding inventory that's on the market as well in the MLS. But I did have a question from a listener that's new to the organization, just joined Lifestyles Unlimited. And a big congrats to you for taking that step. I see it all the time. People hesitate. I was guilty of this 11 plus years ago myself, and it takes a long time to get over that mental hurdle to just take action. And that's very, very important. But new member and said, hey, you know, I'm looking at these leads from wholesalers. And a wholesaler is somebody that contracts a house off market and basically assigns or sells that contract to an investor. And typically when they do that, they're charging some kind of an assignment fee. And the question is, well, what's a fair amount? What is a fair fee? And we're talking about financials. We're talking about the personal financial statement. We're talking essentially about numbers today. And my reply to that question really is it depends on your numbers. So if I need to see an 8, a 10, a 20% cash on cash return with the numbers that I'm buying at from that wholesaler, does it make sense? If I want to see a certain equity gain, if I want to see a certain level of cash out of pocket, do the numbers work with what I'm being presented or not? The fee that they charge as part of their assignment fee, that's built into the purchase price that you see. If that doesn't work for you at $90,000, you can walk away, or you can offer $85,000 or $80,000, right? That's up to you. I've seen over a decade plus of doing this, I've bought a lot of property from wholesalers that were conveyed by way of assignment of contract, and you very clearly see the amount that they're charging as an assignment fee. In fact, the house that we're getting ready to sell, I looked back at the numbers to get everything in order. And back then, we bought the house for $65,000 plus a $7,000 assignment fee, so all told $72,000. Am I glad I did it? Oh boy. You know, once we get this thing sold, I'll do a show around the numbers just so you get an idea of the returns. But just phenomenal. $7,000, no problem. I've had assignment fees that were $20,000. I've had assignment fees that were $25,000. The point is it comes down to the numbers and do they work for you? So speaking of numbers, I want to come back to the $200,000 hole I had in my balance sheet. I just failed to reevaluate a handful of my properties. Why should you do that every year? Well, simply put, you need good information to make good decisions. You need to know what your numbers are to make those decisions. For example, I know a lot of investors will have benchmarks in place, hurdles, let's say, that they need to clear from an equity perspective or a net cash out when they go to do a cash out refinance. Well, if you don't have the latest and greatest value on that property, you're not able to properly decide if it's a good time to do that cash out refinance or not. So you're going to have the cost of doing the refi. There are no taxes affiliated with a cash out refinance, which is why it's a great idea. But you're going to do that cash out and you're going to walk away with some amount of cash in your account. They're going to wire to you. And I know investors that say, hey, as long as I can net $20,000, boom, I'll do that refi. I know others that say $30,000. A buddy of mine, he says, no, I got to get $50,000 out of any cash out refinance. Otherwise, I'm not going to do it. So whatever your number is, doesn't matter. Point is, I can't make a qualified decision if I don't actually know the value of my property. So could I have done a cash out refi on one of those five? Absolutely, I could. Now, most of these were newer in my portfolio. So my equity is building still. But one of those popped, I think, $40,000. Yes, I could have pulled that out. Or maybe you have a certain benchmark for a sale. All right, you want to see a certain amount in your pocket from a sale. And the amount that you take out on a sale is typically going to be bigger because when you do a cash out refinance, you're limited to 75% of loan to value, right? LTV. When you sell, you're going to be able to take away more. Now, you may have to deal with taxes or you do a 1031 exchange and defer those. You're going to have selling costs, so the transaction costs will be a little bit higher. But here too, in order to make a good decision, I need to know the value of that property. So do it every year. Note to self, do it every year. Why I stopped, how I missed those five, couldn't tell you, but it happened. But you need to do it so that you have a good knowledge in order to address whether or not you're hitting those hurdles. Another hurdle you might use as a measurement, or I guess hurdle would be the right word, is a return on equity. And I mentioned in looking at a couple of those houses that I got from the realty team just the other day here in my email, one of them had a 10% cash on cash return. And when I'm buying, I like to look at cash on cash return. I'm going to have a certain cash out of pocket into the investment, and I'm going to make a certain cash flow per month. I'm going to annualize that and divide that by the cash out of pocket. That's my cash on cash return. And that's a great metric for buying to understand what, you know, the value of that property to me as an investor. But over the years, I'm going to see, first of all, I've got equity capture. Equity gain in this example is $32,000. I'm going to see my equity build up. I'm going to see that appreciation. And my equity is going to grow. And I have to stop worrying about the cash that I had into that investment 4 years ago, let's say, and start looking at what I have locked up in that property now. And return on equity is a good way to measure that. Same thing, you just take that cash flow that you're getting on an annual basis and divide that by the equity. And you should have a threshold. House that I had that did go up by 40K, let's say I had 40K in there already. Well, my return on equity just got cut in half, in essence. So you got to stay on top of those things. It's an important part of your personal financial statement. And I'll be honest with you, it just feels real good when you've been working so hard to get these houses under contract and renovate them and put good residents into place, and you've been a good operator and you've been managing these things over a couple of years. It just feels real good to go and reevaluate that thing and see that little bit of equity pop. And sometimes, like I said, a lot keeps you going. It's great feedback back to see that balance sheet grow, to see that wealth growing. Another good reason as well is at some point you may not start out as an accredited investor. I'll tell you what that means in a minute in the last segment here. But as that wealth grows, you will become accredited. You'll hit a certain threshold. You'll clear that benchmark. You'll be accredited. And this then plays into maybe moving from single family, if you haven't done it already, into apartments. Okay, I'll tell you what I mean in just a minute. Just to close out this topic of evaluating your properties annually, at a minimum. Again, I'm talking about on the market value side, but you also, of course, as a rental owner, should be doing this with your rents every year. And that sounds like common sense. It sounds like something you would naturally do, because you don't want to have your rents at $1,500 when the market has popped to $1,700 or $1,800 or $2,000, and they really have jumped up a lot. You don't want to leave money on the table. But I find, and I talk to people, there are some people out there that, for whatever reason, just let the rent ride. You want to know where you sit on the rental equation as well. How do you do those evaluations? Market value. Well, you're getting sold comps, and that may be asking a realtor for help. You may have access to the MLS. You may use a tool like Quest that we have available at Lifestyles Unlimited, but you're going out and just finding similar properties in your submarket, in your subdivision, and seeing what they sold for in the last handful of months. That's all I did recently, just the past couple of days, on those five houses that I missed. That's what an appraiser does. They're going to look for similar properties. They're going to see what they sold for, and then they're going to make adjustments. My house has a two-car garage. That one that sold over there only had one. It sold for $300,000, but I know I have a greater value due to two cars. Therefore, I'm going to adjust that one up, let's say, by $3,500, $5,000. Every appraiser is going to use slightly different numbers. Again, it is an art as well as a science. But you can learn this stuff. More important thing here is you've got to get information. You've got to get access to that information, either through the MLS, a realtor, or subscribing to something like Quest. And you do the exact same thing for lease comparables. So that's figuring out those values, and you're going to feed those into your personal financial statement. What does that look like? And we've talked about this on prior shows. You can go to our website, lifestylesunlimited.com. There's a search bar at the bottom, and type in PFS, or personal financial statement, perhaps balance sheet. And that's essentially what it is. There are two parts. There's the balance sheet, which has assets, and then liabilities, any debt on those vehicles, any debt on those rental properties, any debt that you may have, credit card debt. But while we're on the topic of personal financial statement, because you may want to make that shift like we are from single family to apartments, and if you choose to go the route of buying your own apartments, you're going to work with lenders. And they don't just want to know what your net worth is. They want to know that. And they want to know all the details, believe me. But you're also going to need to present your P&L. And this becomes very important if you want to become a multifamily investor. Why is that? Well, if you want to do the independent owner and buy your own apartment community, you absolutely have to have this documentation for lenders. But I'm not doing that right now. I'm investing passively. And the way we put our investments together at Lifestyles Unlimited, when I say we, I'm talking about the lead investors. This is their business. They put that together. And we're going to get to know each other. I'm a passive, you're a lead. Good to meet you. And they're going to market that to their circle of investors. And they're going to be able to take people that are accredited. We talked about that a moment ago. And they're going to be able to take people that are sophisticated. And it's important here to know the difference. Because in order to invest the way we're structuring, these are multiple ways to structure an apartment syndication, but we're putting these together such that we can take both types of investors. And an accredited investor is somebody that has a very high net worth, let's say, or a certain level of income. Whereas a sophisticated investor may not have that net worth yet, may not have that income. But they're sophisticated, they're educated. That's part of the reason, one of the reasons we do what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited, to help you become sophisticated so that you can participate in these type of apartment investments. But there are limits. So the SEC provides that when you're putting these syndications together, you can only have a certain number of sophisticated investors participating. The maximum is 35 at the moment. Could that change? Sure. There are discussions on Capitol Hill about the definition of accredited, for example. But at the moment, accredited is $1 million in net worth, excluding your personal house. So in my spreadsheet where I track this, where I found my $200,000 error, I net out my personal house for purposes of defining whether I'm accredited or not. And if you're not accredited, or if your net worth isn't there, well, perhaps your income is high enough. You can read the definition, see what the latest is. There are multiple ways to become defined as accredited. But if you are accredited, you're not subject to that limitation in any given deal that an investor may take up to 35 and no more sophisticated investors. Is that a problem? Well, not necessarily. I'm in some apartment investors where we have just 10 investors. So clearly we're under that 35 sophisticated. I mean, others with close to 200 investors. These are much larger apartment communities. Purchase price was higher. Lending was higher. The capital raise was higher. It just simply took more people getting together, pooling our funds to get to the finish line. Now, why would you make the move? Become passive. It's more hands off. The fact is, I can deploy more capital at once in a sensible way into an apartment investment than I will into a house. That house that we looked at in Houston, $20,000, $24,000 out of pocket. If I'm sitting on $100,000 that I want to deploy, I guess I could buy that thing all cash. I'd tell you don't do that, buy multiple houses, or deploy that into an apartment investment. Then you're hands off. Remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. We want to be able to live the lifestyle. And as a passive investor, you really do have that opportunity. So we've talked about a lot today. We've talked about the fact that, hey, housing market crash, it's not coming. There are a lot of reasons, lack of inventory, demographic trends we didn't even talk about. Lending standards have been very strict. Foreclosure activity, not a lot of that going on, and lack of building. Don't see it coming. You want to get involved. Continue to ride that wave up. Get into apartments. Learn how to do it by going to lifestylesunlimited.com. Register for our free workshop. I thank you for listening. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.